101.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You ready for the big show?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Lars. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
Then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
That was the scene just past 6 o'clock local time in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday night. The attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. And they hit him and they punched a hole in his ear. They literally came within either fractions of an inch or a hair's breadth of actually taking the life of the former president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States. And the reaction since then has been nothing short of bizarre. You've got the Secret Service, which clearly bumbled and fumbled, and they failed when it came to security. In fact, inspiring today's X poll, which you can find on our account on X, at Lars Larson Show. You can also find it on my website at LarsLarson.com. Should the new diversity-minded Secret Service chief resign for this massive security failure? You'll find the question there at Lars Larson Show. But let me be clear about something that most people don't want to say out loud. America's hard left, and that includes Joe Biden, they want President Trump dead. 7 days ago, or 5 days before the attempted assassination on Saturday night, Joe Biden told his supporters on a private phone call, quote, "It's time to put Trump in a bullseye." Those are not my words. Those are Joe Biden's words. Now, the night before the shooting, what did Joe Biden do? He told an audience that Donald Trump is a threat to America, that he's a threat to democracy, that he's a threat to everything we believe in this country. So you got Joe Biden saying, let's put a bullseye, put Trump in a bullseye. He's a threat to America. So Saturday night, a sniper in Pennsylvania did just that. And he came within a hair's breadth of killing the 45th president of the United States. His 223 round drilling a hole in Trump's ear and killing a bystander behind President Trump. Now, I would call that divine intervention, as President Trump, you can see on the video, turned his head a fraction of an inch, just a fraction of a second before that bullet zipped on by. Trump survived, and he rose with a clenched fist, urging his followers to fight to save this country. Well, now that Joe Biden's own bellicosity has actually turned ballistic, now Joe Biden wants to declare a rhetorical ceasefire? Take a listen to the way this president has talked in the last couple of years.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans.
So Joe Biden is not just talking about Donald Trump. He doesn't save his anger just for that. He saves these defamatory words for everybody in America who believes in making America great again. And then what does Joe do? He goes on television, live from the Oval Office last night, and says, cool down the rhetoric. Now that he's already engaged in his own hot rhetoric that I believe actually drove what happened on Saturday night in Butler, Pennsylvania. I mean, among other things, it demonstrated that Joe can't even manage to read for a few minutes off a teleprompter without screwing up. Take a listen to this.
Thankfully, former Trump is not seriously injured. I spoke to him last night. I'm grateful. He's doing well, and Jill and I keep him and his family in our prayers.
Yeah, and I don't believe that for a second. Biden made some bizarre comparisons between the attempted assassination of a former American president to things like Paul Pelosi's home invasion. Listen to that.
Violence has never been the answer. Whether it's with members of Congress of both parties being targeted and shot, or a violent mob attacking the Capitol on January 6th, or brutal attack on the spouse of former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, or information and intimidation on election officials, or the kidnapping plot against the sitting governor, or an attempted assassination on Donald Trump. There's no place in America for this kind of violence, for any violence ever.
Yeah, that's what Joe Biden says today. And yet, you know, the thing is, Joe Biden, he will say all these crazy things. Members of his own party have made statements invoking violence, have invited violence against anybody who disagrees with their agenda. And what does Joe Biden say? I think he made a little bit of a Freudian slip on Sunday night, last night, as he spoke from the Oval Office saying he wants things settled. I know he meant to say ballot box, but Joe Biden can't even get that out.
In America, we resolve our differences at the ballot box. You know, that's how we do it, at the ballot box, not with bullets.
At the battle box, not with bullets. And Joe wrapped up his message by nearly repeating the very smart catchphrase that Donald Trump has been using for more than 8 years. He stopped himself just in time. Take a listen, because we almost heard Joe Biden saying, make America great again.
You know, we're blessed to live in the greatest country on earth, and I believe that with every soul, every power of my being. So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit. To make America so, make America, what, think about it. What's made America so special?
Yeah, what's made America so special? Joe Biden's ability to realize I'm about to say Donald Trump's catchphrase and say, make America great again. And we can do that in November. So Joe Biden can use those fighting words, and he wants everybody else to keep a cool tongue. And then the network news anchors got busy over the weekend, studiously refusing to call out Biden's extreme rhetoric of the last 7 days, while questioning why Donald Trump, literally, they asked this question, didn't stand up on that stage with a bullet hole in his ear and blood dripping down his face and call for cooler words like Joe Biden did.
And we saw him raise his hand in the air defiantly, blood on his face as he left the stage.
He is recovering from these injuries now. This was a traumatic event, no doubt, for him. But I did notice there was no call for lowering the temperature, condemning all political violence, and really trying to signal to his supporters as well, not to retaliate.
You know, Margaret Brennan is a liberal news anchor, and she's about as dumb as a bag of hammers. But to say, why didn't Donald Trump, with that hole in his ear and the blood coming down his face, stand up and say, oh no, don't retaliate? No, Donald Trump said, let's fight for this country. The legacy corporate media still thinks the words of Donald Trump pose a greater danger to America than anything Joe Biden says or anything that comes out of a rifle. Listen to this.
And then the biggest threat that officials are telling me tonight is in the form of retaliatory violence.
We are seeing some Republican lawmakers come out with statements directly drawing a line between the shooter, whose name we do not know. We do not know if he's a lone actor or with somebody else, but drawing some connection to the government. We have nothing to base that on at this hour.
Yeah, nothing to base it on except Joe Biden saying, let's put Donald Trump in a bullseye. Let's call Donald Trump a threat to America. And by the way, I'm glad to tell you at this point, the choice of Senator J.D. Vance has been made as Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate. We're going to hear more about that later on. But I'm glad to have you with me on a Monday. Glad as the RNC begins its convention. And of course, glad that Donald Trump survived on Saturday night, despite all the crazy rhetoric of Joe Biden. And as far as I'm concerned, for Joe Biden to go out and say the crazy things he said to inspire acts like this and then demand cooler rhetoric, I'll tell you what, Mr. President, pound sand. Thanks a lot. Glad to have you with me. Glad to get your calls, too. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network. If you're
what does Lars think about smoking the devil's lettuce?
I won't go schizo, will I?
It's a distinct possibility.
Now it's time to take a hit of Lars Larson.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of nonsense.
Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say it.
This is the Northwest Nonsense.
How much longer do we have to sit for this nonsense?
That great moment every day where Lars brings you the cold, hard facts without any liberal wokeness from the Daily Dead fish wrapper or mainstream media bias.
You know, when you consider the massive security failure allowed by the Secret Service Saturday night at a Donald Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, you're left with one of two conclusions the way I see it. The U.S. Secret Service is dangerously incompetent, or the Secret Service deliberately allowed an attempt on a president's life. I say massive failure because you don't have to be a security expert to say that leaving a rooftop 148 yards from the podium where Donald Trump spoke, open for somebody to climb up with a rifle, be seen by witnesses who alerted police, and then loose eight rifle rounds downrange at the former president is galactically stupid. The woman who now heads the Secret Service was an agent, but her most recent job in the private sector was overseeing security for a company that makes Cheetos, Doritos, and Mountain Dew. Kimberly Cheadle has been on that job not quite 2 years, and is her top priority the security of the people she protects? She told CBS News her insanely aggressive diversity policy is to force a minimum of 30% female agents on the Secret Service within the next 6 years. Unfortunately, the female agents at the attempted assassination of President Trump on Saturday night mostly looked like they had no idea what they were doing. One couldn't even holster her pistol. It's worth noting that agents are routinely expected to take a bullet if necessary to save the life of a protectee, which is a bit hard when President Trump tops 6 feet and the average woman in America is 5'4". After the assassination attempt, the director's comments were made after the agency had previously said no changes were going to be made in RNC convention security after the attempted assassination on Saturday. Now they say they're planning to strengthen security, which seems sensible at this point. But at this point, I think it's time for Kimberly Cheadle to submit her resignation and let somebody competent take over that agency, somebody not nearly so concerned about diversity. And now today's Daily Grill.
Insane.
Are you completely insane?
Ridiculous.
They get more and more ridiculous.
Flat out dumb.
You're even dumber than I thought.
Who deserves today's Lars Grill of the Day?
Maybe they're just really, really stupid.
Find out right now.
Well, after that big heat wave last week in the Pacific Northwest and elsewhere around the country, it's disturbing if nothing else. The idea that the utility companies, if you have agreed to their so-called smart thermostat program, can literally take control of your thermostat. In wintertime or summertime, they are allowed to adjust how much heat and how much cooling you're allowed. You still have to pay for it. You get no break because of this, but they are going to take control of your thermostat. As far as I'm concerned, I'm never putting one of those things on my home, and I would advise all of you to do the same. Today's best email of the day brought to you by Window Nation's semi-annual sale. Now on with 50% off on all windows, no interest for 5 years, and bonus savings. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. You can send more emails to talk@LarsLarson.com, but I got this one from Dusty in Baker City. Lars, I was in Bi-Mart, the Baker City Bi-Mart on Sunday. I was buying a birthday card for my brother. It was a funny one with Joe Biden on the cover of the card trying to sing happy birthday, and he drifts off and says, you know, the thing at the end of the message. The cashier sees the card and she says, who's the card for? I say, my brother. She says, he must be a Biden supporter. I said, no, not at all. Read the card. She looked at me and said, you heard about the Trump assassination attempt? I said, yes. She said, I bet he paid somebody to do that. I said, are you crazy? Pay someone to shoot yourself? She said, well, he is from New York and I am too, so I know how they think. I would like to pay her moving expenses back to New York City. Keep up the good work from Dusty in Baker City. To your calls now. On this Monday, the beginning of the RNC convention, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio has been chosen as Donald Trump's running mate, and I think that's a great choice. And I can't wait to see a matchup in a vice presidential debate between J.D. Vance, who's very smart and very well-spoken, and Kamala Harris. Can you imagine that? Let's go first to Gary. Hey, Gary, thanks for listening to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars. I'm a union electrician. I've called you from the Coos Bay North Bend area before.
Thank you.
And we're all kind of insulted by this. You know, they've tried to put him in jail. They've tried to prosecute him.
Yep.
Now people are shooting at him. We're tired of politicians. We're guys that are out here. I'm working in Boardman, Oregon. It's 102. It's 105. It's 101. We're out here sweating our lives out for a living. And we're tired of politicians. I'm sick and tired of the Democrats.
Dump it. Sorry about that, Gary. I want to get Gary to continue his comments, but I want to ask. We knew we might have some of this. Hey, Joel, did we manage to dump that one? I would guess we did.
I hope
now,
we did.
Gary, keep it clean for me and don't get me in trouble with the FCC.
I hear you. I'm sorry. We're construction workers. We're out here. Iron workers out here working. We're building data centers for all the big data centers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Different kind of places. You know, man, we're tired of this. We are tired of politicians that are talking out of both sides of their mouth. And we're in Oregon. You know, I sometimes I work in Washington. Most time I don't. I'm a union electrician. Been a union electrician for 25 years. You're seeing a shift in when the working class people, who I make a good living, we're not so aligned with the Democratic Party anymore.
Yep. Well, look, I'll tell you something, Gary. The only thing I'd ask you for, at the next union meeting you go to, you have a right to be in a union.
Yeah.
I respect that right.
Yes, I do.
But at the next meeting, I want you to stand up and say, if my union is going to send my dues money, some of it, off to Democrat politicians that we don't want in office, I want you to explain why. And then ask if they will change and give that money instead to some sensible conservatives. What do you think of that idea?
Hey, we have been doing that. I have the right to have my own money sent for local school districts, hospital boards, water boards, and stuff like that.
No, but you got to get to the nationals. Gary, which union are you in?
IBEW.
Uh-huh.
International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Electrical Workers, yeah.
Yes, we are. And, man, after what happened this weekend, we're all a little bit angry.
Well, take that anger and do something with it. Just say to them, I don't want my money going to Democrats. I don't want it going to professional politicians. I like Donald Trump, and I appreciate the call. Let's go to Armin. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars, and by the way, from Maury Island, they still haven't changed the name.
Yeah,
anyway,
thank God.
This is not a disagreement. It's just sort of an embellishment about the bullseye comment by Biden. What it was, yep, 10, 12 years ago, Sarah Palin made that bullseye comment, and she was lambasted by the Democrats. And, of course, Biden isn't. So, again, once again, it's the old double standard, like you like to say. If they didn't have a double standard, they wouldn't have any standards at all.
And you're absolutely right about that. Thanks for the call from Maury Island. It's Monday. It's a pleasure to be with you, and you're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show. Facebook, X, and Google may censor you, but you'll never find censorship here.
Don't censor me!
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday, on the first day of the Republican National Convention. And no, did I go to the convention? No, I've been to conventions before. I chose to do my coverage from outside. But it's notable, we should mention, Donald Trump has now been officially chosen by the Republican National Convention as the standard bearer for Republicans this year. He is the Republicans candidate. At this point, we don't know who the candidate is going to be on the Democrat side, because Joe Biden has not been chosen yet. And we don't know, honestly, what they're going to do, because the Democrat convention happens more than a month from now. It's closer to almost 6 weeks from now that they're going to hold their convention. And truly, at this point, we don't know who's going to be the candidate. It could be Joe Biden. It could be Kamala Harris. It could be Gavin Newsom. It could be a number of people, although I think they're going to have to pry Joe Biden loose. But the only man running for Congress in America I think I can say this accurately, who's personally dealt with terrorists face-to-face, is Alex Skarlatos, who's running for Congress in Oregon's 4th Congressional District to replace the very corrupt Val Hoyle. Alec, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Just got to issue a correction there. I'm running for House District 4 now on the Oregon State Senate.
We have Monique Despain
running for Congress. Yes.
Very good. Well, I will make that correction. And I appreciate it. Tell me this, how's the race going at this point, and what are the major issues?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it's a safe Republican seat, so I get to be myself. So I look forward to basically disputing everything the Democrats do and try to throw up as many roadblocks. And hopefully we can get a majority or at least tie the House or Senate this year so that we can actually try to get something done for the people of Oregon.
Alec, wouldn't you think that it'd be pretty easy to take a look at the wreckage around the landscape that is the state of Oregon and say, do you want more of this? Because the legislature has a lot of control over what ends up being delivered by both governors and by mayors. The legislature has taken a number of the actions or has failed to act in a number of cases involving homelessness, involving drug addiction, fentanyl deaths and everything else. And you ask voters, do you want more of that? I would think it would be an easy case.
You would think so, but there's still a lot of Democrats living in Portland, as it turns out. And you'd think with how out of control our legislature is, I mean, even, you know, the Grants Pass lawsuit that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. I mean, the Supreme Court is having to issue corrections to Oregon policy. You'd think we'd get our act together, and hopefully we do after this next coming election. But I'm looking forward to it and look forward to getting into the fight. You know, it's going to be real interesting this year, you know, especially with everything going on with President Trump just picking his VP now. I mean, there's just
J.D.
the
Vance,
news cycle ever since the debate has been insane.
It has been. I want to ask you what you made of the attempted assassination on Saturday night.
I mean, to just be totally honest, I mean, Secret Service completely dropped the ball. I mean, their reaction after the shooting started, I thought, was pretty top-notch. But just the fact that that was even allowed to happen is a colossal failure. I mean, this is something that is the most basic kind of, you know, valuable person protection to secure the closest rooftop to the president, about 150 yards away.
Yep.
I mean, this is worse than what happened to JFK. This is worse than what happened to Reagan. I mean, this has been the biggest, you know, drop of security since Abraham Lincoln. I think that was before the Secret Service was even around.
Yeah, I mean, to a large extent it was. And that's what's weird about this, is that they decided to put that rooftop outside the security perimeter. So the rooftop is actually from where the man who's a killer, he's dead, but he's a killer because he killed somebody in the audience. He put a bullet through Donald Trump's ear, and he was on top of a roof that was not under the control of the Secret Service and couldn't even be observed by the Secret Service sharpshooters that were on another rooftop not too far from where President Trump was speaking. So they really left a wide open hole, and you wonder what's going on at that agency.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, there's word on the street now is that it was supposed to be up to local law enforcement to secure that rooftop. And obviously they didn't, but it shouldn't have even been left up to them. I mean, you know, I think that there's a rumor going around that they've had, you know, a lack of personnel attending to Trump. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous, considering he's the former president and presumptively now the next president. I mean, I think they could afford to pull a couple agents off of Hunter Biden's detail, for God's sakes, and put them on President Trump's.
Well, by the way, Alec, I'm talking to Alex Skarlatos, who's running for the Oregon House of Representatives. But one of the dirty little secrets that I don't think the mainstream media is going to exert a lot of effort on is that Jill Biden, who insists on being called Dr. Jill Biden, the first lady, was also campaigning in Pennsylvania this weekend. And there's at least one question about whether or not, because Trump's been running such a vigorous campaign, so he's on the go all the time, that his detail has been working 7 days a week. And so when they bring in other people to try to cover him when he goes to a rally that's, you know, a distance away from home base, they're short of people because Jill Biden was also campaigning. Now, the Secret Service is officially saying that they did not shortchange Donald Trump to safeguard Jill Biden. But I'd love to see the numbers on that, because, you know, during a presidential campaign, wouldn't be any surprise that you get stretched a bit thin, as you pointed out.
Well, and to be honest, that sounds like an excellent excuse. If they're saying that they weren't shortchanging President Trump and this was still allowed to happen, honestly, that makes it much worse. I mean, this is 150 yards away on a totally exposed rooftop with a guy with an AR-15. I mean, the fact that he didn't kill President Trump is an absolute miracle. We could be dealing with a very different reality today if only a few things were different. I mean, imagine, Trump could be dead. We could be having to figure out who's going to be our next presidential nominee. I mean, you got to think it's the providence of God or something was watching out for President Trump. But I mean, we could be dealing with a very different reality had, you know, just a few things gone differently. And no thanks, unfortunately, to the Secret Service. I'm sure they're all great people. But whoever did the workup on that event and decided to not have someone watching that rooftop 24/7, I mean, it's just insane. And even if you watch the reaction of the counter snipers, you could tell that they saw something on that rooftop and then panicked when they saw a gun and then got back on the scope. And right when they got back on the scope, the guy started firing. It was just a few seconds too late. But again, that was reactive. It should have been prevented.
The minute they saw somebody on a rooftop that was supposed to be vacant, that's a threat, right? And do you act on the threat, or do you wait until the threat actually puts a few bullets down range? Alec, do you want to tell people where to find your campaign online?
AlecForOregon.com, same place as it's been the last few times. I'm just happy to be here, and I'm happy President Trump's alive, and happy he picked a great vice presidential candidate.
Yeah, in fact, he has, and it's interesting that J.D. Vance has been a critic of Donald Trump. I mean, at one point he called himself a never Trumper, and he's said some harsh things about Donald Trump, but Donald Trump says he sees the talent in the guy, so he's decided to pick Senator Vance from Ohio and make him his vice presidential running mate. That's going to be a powerful combination. And I've already said I can't wait to see the vice presidential debate as Kamala Harris tries to go, you know, intellectually toe-to-toe with somebody like J.D. Vance. I don't think she's going to do very well. She may actually do worse than Joe did in his debate with President Trump. Hey, Alec, it's a pleasure to have you on. Good luck in the campaign. And thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again before November.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Alec Skarlatos running for the Oregon House of Representatives. I misspoke and said Congress. We'll be back in a moment. We'll get to your phone calls and emails. It's a Monday. It's day one of the RNC convention. Donald Trump has been chosen as the nominee. Who knows who the Democrats are going to choose? None of us do right now. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
Behind the scenes with leading Democrats after the presidential debate.
What's your backup plan? You gotta have some kind of backup plan, right?
Yeah, we don't have a backup plan. This is it.
And this is the best that the U.S. government can come up with?
This is the Lars Larson
Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and always glad to get your calls on this Monday, day one of the RNC convention. The Democrats don't meet for about 5 or 6 more weeks till almost the end of August, and God knows who they're going to pick as their nominee, because it may be Joe Biden, it could be somebody else. Our X poll today: should the new diversity-minded Secret Service chief resign for this massive security failure that allowed the attempted assassination of Donald Trump on Saturday night in Butler, Pennsylvania? I would say yes. The young lady who heads up the agency now used to work for PepsiCo. She was a Secret Service agent prior to that, but her latest job was guarding Cheetos and Doritos and Pepsi-Cola. And her big focus, as she tells reporters, is on diversity, increasing diversity. You've seen how well diversity has worked out for companies like Boeing and others. Doesn't make any sense, but Should this young lady who now heads up the Secret Service submit her resignation? I would say yes. Today's X poll can be found at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com and brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at UltimateTruckService.com. To your calls now, let's go to Bremerton and talk to Gary. Hey, Gary, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Lars. I think it's entirely possible Trump could be attacked again. You know, he's got to be alive for us to vote for him. And to help keep him alive, I think I should consider wearing a ballistic vest and helmet at the rallies. It not only would give him more protection, I know they're not 100%, but it would act as a visual reminder of what he and we are up against. You know, it could be a fancy vest, it could be kind of a fancy patriotic helmet, whatever. But at these rallies, until some of our folks can get in the government and give us more protection in this country, I think it would just be a great visual effect at these giant rallies, and it would serve a purpose.
I don't know, Gary, do you remember the candidacy of Michael Dukakis?
Oh, I remember that had tank helmet. Yes.
Yeah. Well, do you think it would work out well? Because I think Trump would say no. But a ballistic helmet,
yeah,
because
he would say no.
Without the helmet, and for all I know, the president does wear a ballistic vest. But a ballistic vest wouldn't have done him any good if that bullet had been about half an inch to the right on Saturday night.
Right.
So, I think he does wear a vest, though. But we need a Secret Service that can actually do a competent job. You know, I had looked at the overhead, the map of what happened, because I was following it from Saturday afternoon when we first got word that it had happened. It happened just after 6 o'clock in Pennsylvania, so just after 3 o'clock on the West Coast. But when you look at that map and you think, hold on a second, it's 148 yards from the top of that roof to the podium, and you allowed that rooftop to be unsecured and unguarded. I got an email or a text from a friend of mine who's a former cop, and he said, once I was walking around with a Secret Service agent on a Clinton visit, so that was back in the 90s, and he said they talked about what they do. He said, we were at PSU. Agent says, some of this is simple. You look for the buildings with a line of sight, and we put somebody on the roof, and counter snipers are watching. It's the first thing they do at every site. So how does the Secret Service explain why they would leave a rooftop that's within easy reach and 150 yards with a rifle is an easy rifle shot? Why would they leave that wide open?
No, there's no bullet drop. There's no consideration of wind at that close. And, I could show anybody within an hour who's never shot a rifle before to hit a target that size, especially if it had a scope. I don't know if it had a scope, but...
Well, even if it didn't, the guy was lying prone. It was a perfect shooting position. And the problem is they left the rooftop open. And after they were alerted that there was a man up there, minutes went by before anybody took constructive action. Let's go to Ron. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
First of all, I want to give God the glory that his protection was on President Trump. The three things I notice every time, let's go back to every time Maxine Waters speak, I go remember in USC campus, an attempt on his life at USC campus in 1976 during the Carter election. I can remember, they don't even talk about the 2020 in October his own personal security team took him out when a person climbed over the White House fence. They don't never bring that subject up. And the last thing is, when you got reporters from MSNBC saying they're going to be marketing, call them out. Even in some cases, going back to the dismal speech of Krispy Kreme Crispy, saying that he should have a target. This is threatening, malicious words that should not be allowed and should be held accountable. And the last thing is this. Where was the drones? I remember when I went to the rally in Eugene, there was drones flying around. There was helicopters flying around. Where was that? Where was that?
That's a good question, although, Ron, I had a lot of people ask me about drones, not that I'm an expert, but I said, I think drones would complicate it. First of all, any drone with a camera would have to, every one of those feeds would have to be monitored second by second by somebody. And then you'd have to say, can you identify a threat from a drone camera accurately enough to tell the Secret Service to eliminate the threat? And that would be, I think that would be the linchpin missing, to say, Well, we can do that. By the way, I want to tell you something real quick, Ron. Word just came down. Donald Trump had demanded today that RFK Jr. get Secret Service protection, which RFK Jr. has been asking for all the way along. Joe Biden has finally granted Secret Service protection to RFK Jr. after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. It's a Monday, and you're listening to the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Lars.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you ready for the big soul?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Live. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call it crackhead.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
Then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
My memory is so bad I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday. It's day one of the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump has been chosen as the nominee. He at least has the delegate votes to be able to make that happen. We don't know what the Democrats are going to do in a little over a month when they meet in late August. It's anybody's guess who the Democrat nominee is going to be. Although at this point, it seems Joe is the odds-on favorite, although that could change very rapidly. As you've noticed, things have been changing. We've also got the choice of J.D. Vance. A once-never Trumper who's been chosen as the vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump. And on the phone with me right now is former district attorney and a longtime friend of the show, Josh Marquis. Hey, Josh, welcome back.
Thank you. Remember 28 years ago, you and I were at the very boring Democratic convention in 1996 in Chicago when you were a reporter.
Yeah, when I was a reporter, I covered that one, and I decided I've been to a couple of conventions since then. They tend to be a gigantic security nightmare. As you can tell, you have to have really good security. But I want to ask you about that first. What should we conclude from the fact that a sniper was able to get a spot 148 yards away from a podium where any Secret Service protectee was giving a speech without the authorities taking action until after the shots had already been fired?
Well, securing a candidate for president is a very hard thing, but what the Secret Service is supposed to do. I don't understand how there could be an area so relatively close to a protectee, a candidate for president. It's anytime a candidate is outside, it's dangerous, but the current director of the Secret Service is going to have some real questions to answer. And my suspicion is that she won't be the director much longer.
I would think you're probably right. Let me ask you about something else. So President Biden went on television last night and he said, we have to cool down the rhetoric. And he called for cooler rhetoric. Do you think rhetoric can drive something like what happened on Saturday night?
I think it can contribute. Yes. I mean, people generally who do really, really violent, crazy things probably aren't listening to reason. And if we look at the various people who have tried and sometimes succeeded to kill our presidents or presidential candidates going down the years, almost all of them were crazy, and not acting rationally, even if they thought they were. But, you know, I do find the rhetoric that both parties use alarming. And of course, it's not meant that way, but there are crazy people out there who will use it as justification.
You don't think it was meant that way when Joe Biden said to private donors 7 days ago, we need to put a bullseye on Donald Trump?
Well, no, I think that was inappropriate, and it was just as inappropriate, as you remember, Lars, when Republicans took out ads that showed a bullseye on Congresswoman Gifford when they were running candidates against her. It's the kind of rhetoric that really doesn't mean anything until it does. And I don't really know if it makes any real difference, because the problem when you're dealing with insane people or irrational people is that they take things that everybody else would consider sort of just normal conversation and escalate it out. And, I would like, of course, I think most Americans would like to see a better level of behavior by the people running for president on both sides, to quote your candidate, but.
I guess it's just a bit much for Joe Biden, who's just issued these statements recently and called Trump a danger to democracy, a threat to the country, a threat to democracy. I mean, that's really extreme rhetoric. And I haven't heard anything of the, you know, of the same from the other side. But let me ask you about some Northwest
issues. Let's talk about Oregon, because we're in plenty of trouble here.
Let's talk about Oregon. We had a Supreme Court decision on an Oregon case, the Grants Pass case, in which the Supreme Court said, yeah, cities and counties and states do have the right to regulate the kind of behavior that we generically call homeless people camping out on public property, and cities and counties saying we can't do anything about it. The Supreme Court says, yes, you can. And now your read of this is Oregon is going to do everything they can not to take advantage of that decision, right?
Absolutely, particularly the Oregon Democratic Party, of which I used to play a major role, and I'm still technically a member. They snuck in a law called H. Bill 3115 in the last legislature, supposedly just to clean things up. But what's going to happen is cities like Portland or areas like Multnomah County that may not have their heart in following the Supreme Court decision will be able to use HB 3115 to say, oh, yeah, well, the Supreme Court says we can do this. But Oregon has extended special protections for our homeless friends. And so we really shouldn't do that. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Supreme Court has said these are the guidelines, but if the state wants to pass, in theory, a really restrictive law that further hamstrings law enforcement, they can do it. I would hope that Oregonians and that even Oregon politicians would say, enough's enough. We've seen how the quality of life has been completely degraded, not just in Portland, but other places, and it requires the ability of law enforcement to act, and it requires the people who are in charge of law enforcement, the county commissioners, the city councils, to authorize them and to say, yes, we do want you to go in there when they're openly smoking fentanyl and defecating on the street and blocking people's right to use.
Can we also agree that it's not compassionate at all to say let people live in these circumstances until they overdose or die?
It's a false compassion, Lars. It's the compassion of allowing people, you know, to starve to death in front of you or to engage in unbelievably self-destructive behavior and then pat yourself on the back and say, well, see how open-minded I am. I didn't mind that I watched this obviously incompetent person engage in public self-harm. I mean, would we in any rational society allow someone who was, say, a minor or clearly incompetent to literally, say, open up their veins or cut themselves with knives and stuff? No, we wouldn't. We would say, wait a minute, you know what? There's a requirement for society to step in.
Yeah, I guess if you're from the conservative side of the aisle, if you're from the Democrat side of the aisle, you'd say, well, we'll have OHSU surgeons actually do that work on you, wouldn't we?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. If you're talking about the amount of money that OHSU spends on supposed gender-affirming care?
Chemical castration and surgical mutilation of children. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You'd think, well, somebody's going to step in and stop that. Well, maybe, maybe not. But, Josh, you got a choice in the DA and the AG's race in Oregon?
I do, and I hope we'll talk about that. And that is the Democratic Party has had a lock on that for far too long. And there's a guy named Will Lathrop who is running as a Republican candidate, and he is a former prosecutor. He is a real possible candidate. And the choice is either him or the guy who helped pass HB 3115. And it's time for that office to be viewed as nonpartisan and for Oregon to start electing real attorney generals.
That sounds sensible. That's Josh Marquis, former DA. Coming up in a moment, we'll talk about some of the colossal disaster that happened on the ground in Butler, Pennsylvania, before the attempted assassination on Saturday night.
Meanwhile, at Biden's campaign headquarters, they're working on a strategy.
They'll use it against you in the campaign. They'll try to prove that you're incompetent.
I can prove that as well as he can.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
We're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle. Absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle.
Now, that's just one of the witnesses at the attempted assassination of Donald Trump on Saturday night who pointed out the man with the rifle on the rooftop just 148 yards from the president's podium. They told the police, which is exactly what we always tell people to do. If you see something, say something. The police told the Secret Service. And then literally minutes went by with no effective action by either Secret Service or by local law enforcement until the first of eight shots rang out. Now, at that point, Secret Service snipers took action, but it was after the bullets were already in the air from the attempted assassin of Donald Trump. Now, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. If you want to join the best conversation in talk journalism, it's right here every day at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. You can send emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. You can vote in our poll on X. We put up a brand new question of the day every day at Lars Larson Show on X. You can also find it on our website at LarsLarson.com. Now, before I go to any of your calls, knowing what we know now, that the Secret Service allowed an area within 148 yards of the podium where Donald Trump was speaking on Saturday night, that left that area under the control, theoretically, of local law enforcement, although apparently you could see from that rooftop straight to the podium, but the Secret Service sharpshooters could not see who was on the roof until it was too late. You're left with one of two conclusions, that the U.S. Secret Service is either completely incompetent or the Secret Service deliberately allowed an attempt on the president's life. Let's go back to the witnesses and what they saw in the minutes before shots were fired, including the shot that hit Donald Trump, including a shot that killed one of the people in the audience. A total of three people were wounded. Take a listen to what the witnesses told the police that they had already seen on the roof.
We noticed the guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us.
Now, the question is, why would the Secret Service be incompetent? I'm going to tell you something that we talk about on this show all the time, and that is diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. DEI is present in so many private sector endeavors, like private companies like Boeing, and it has not worked out well, because when you start to pick people for jobs based not on their skills and their abilities and their talents, but based on whether or not they meet a certain set of criteria, racial criteria, sexual criteria, gender criteria, when you start picking people for critical jobs, and then you end up with airplanes that have parts falling off as they're flying through the air, or you have a spacecraft that gets all the way to the U.S. space station, delivers two astronauts, and then can't bring them home, and is now overdue by weeks because the astronauts are now effectively stranded because the Boeing spacecraft that brought them there was based on Boeing's new global diversity movement. And then you consider that Kimberly Cheadle is director of the United States Secret Service. Now, she was a Secret Service agent, but she worked most recently as a PepsiCo executive in charge of what? Cheetos, Doritos, Fritos, and Mountain Dew. Take a listen to the interview she gave not long ago. She's only been in the job less than 2 years, about what her top priority at Secret Service has been.
But I'm very conscious as I sit in this chair now of making sure that we need to attract diverse candidates and ensure that we are developing and giving opportunities to everybody in our workforce, and particularly women.
And particularly women. In other words, she says it doesn't matter whether you know how to do the job. We need to boost the number of women, and her goal is 30% women recruits by 2030. 6 years from now, she wants to have 30% women recruits. Now, there are women who work as Secret Service agents who are very, very competent. But if you're choosing people for those jobs and you say we have all these competent candidates, but we want to boost the number of women artificially and say we're going to pick people based on their gender because that matches one of our political goals, I have a feeling that Kimberly Cheadle, currently head of the United States Secret Service, is not going to be in that job for long. Now, take a listen to what the witnesses were saying after the shooting on Saturday night in Butler, Pennsylvania.
We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2-3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, five shots rang out.
Actually, the total may have been closer to 8. The Secret Service shot back. But this man was absolutely certain that he was seeing a threat to the president, former president of the United States, that local law enforcement had not identified, that the Secret Service had not identified. Take a listen to that.
So you're certain that the shots came from that guy on the roof?
100%. 100%.
And he was up there for a couple of minutes.
He was up there.
You saw him up there for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. At least 3 to 4 minutes.
And you were telling police and the Secret Service?
We were telling the police. We were pointing at him for the Secret Service, who were looking at us from the top of the barn. They were looking at us the whole time when we were standing by that tree.
Standing by that tree. So the Secret Service has a lot of questions to answer. I'll note that Saturday night, after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, after one man had already died because that sniper was not, that killer was not spotted sooner, a man who was in the audience died. There were others who were wounded. President Trump was wounded as well. Because of all of that that's going on, the question has to be asked whether or not the Secret Service is currently being managed appropriately. Let's go to Alan. Hey, Alan, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Well, you're right. They should have pulled him off that stage. No reason not to.
Yep.
You see somebody with a gun, you know, what else? Why else would he be there? You don't have to wait for him to shoot him before you notify him and get him off the stage.
Yep, get the protectee on the ground, get him away from any kind of harm. Let's go to David, who's a naysayer. David, you say you're a naysayer. We're close to the break. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars, real quick, thanks for having me, first-time caller. Just want to say I don't think Biden's going to be replaced. And I remember all this talk, which seems to have been swept under the rug, about, you know, deadlines for certain states, specifically Nevada, the day after the debate. And now there's all this talk everywhere you see about replacing him still. And I wonder if you could shed some light on it and tell me what's going on here.
The only thing I can tell you is that right after the debate, that Friday night, was the deadline for Nevada. Nevada says you cannot change the name of the person who's on the ballot. If Joe Biden's on the ballot, unless he were to pass, his name will stay on the ballot all the way to November, even if the party does not nominate him. They're going to have to notify some of the states, like Ohio has to be notified by the 7th of August, when the convention for the Democrats doesn't happen until about 2 weeks later. So they've got all kinds of deadline problems. They've got money that's tied up. If Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not the candidates, about $220 million that has already been donated by their sponsors cannot be spent on any campaign that does not include either Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. So it's very complicated for the Democrats, but running Joe Biden doesn't seem like a winning proposition at this point. Back in a moment, glad to get your calls. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show. Sayers go to the head of the line at the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday, the day one of the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump has the delegate count. He's got the votes to be the nominee for the Republicans. Who knows who's going to be the Democrat nominee, although at this point Joe Biden seems to be the odds-on favorite, and Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio has been chosen as Donald Trump's running mate. And one of my favorite people to call on for political questions like this is Kim Strassel of the Wall Street Journal and the Potomac Watch column. How are you doing, Kim?
Hi, great. How are you, Lars?
I'm doing quite well. Had a little laryngitis last week. But Kim is also the author of The Biden Malaise, How America Bounces Back from Joe Biden's Dismal Repeat of the Jimmy Carter Years. And Kim, we're going to need quite a bounce to get back to where we should be right now. But I want to ask you first about the attempted assassination of President Trump on Saturday night in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, look, I've been really amazed. First of all, we're all so fortunate, right? I mean, this was so close. I think there's a lot of questions to ask about the Secret Service and how this could ever happen, but this was as good an outcome as we were going to get. And I've also been very impressed with the former president, the graciousness that he has shown and his decision to use this to call for unity in the party and to bring people in. I think that provides a very stark contrast with what we've been hearing from the other side. It's not just the right thing to do in terms of the message to send following this, just to try to calm down some of the situation out there, but also I think is very wise politically.
I think it's smart, too. Kim, I got to ask you about this, though. There's always, these days, lately, I've come to expect that people are going to do, well, both sides do it. They're going to say, well, both sides do it. I don't think that's the case. I mean, if, you know, when you have a close call like this, literally fractions of an inch, and Donald Trump could have, his life could have been forfeit, I think I call it divine intervention, because I think only God's hand could have explained why that bullet came that close without hitting him, but punctured his ear. But I immediately saw people on the left. Now they're the extreme left, but they went on social media and began posting videos of themselves bemoaning the fact that this attempted assassin missed. And I racked my brain for when I could ever remember a conservative or a Republican, either way, coming out and saying, gosh, I wish they hadn't missed.
Well, there's obviously that aspect of this, is that no, I can't think of a conservative, at least not an elected Republican or an important political influencer, who would ever call for or praise something like that. But here's the other thing, too, Lars, is that I think Bill Barr said it right. We need the other side, the Democratic Party and the left, to stop suggesting that Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. Yep. They need to stop using words like fascist. They need to stop claiming that he's going to take away rights or put his opponents in front of military tribunals. Because when people hear that, that is what moves people to think, well, you know, the end is nigh, and the only thing that can change that is me taking action myself outside the bounds of the law. And that's really scary. I'm not saying we don't know enough about this shooter yet to understand, but that kind of rhetoric is just very, very problematic overall.
No, and when you've got a kid who's 20 years old, he's not, you know, and he's given one little contribution to a lefty group, but other than that, we don't know anything about his politics or anything like that. But when you've got people like Joe Biden, who's been in politics forever, coming out and saying, we have to put a bullseye on Donald Trump. And as you said, on Friday night, the night before the shooting, Joe Biden out saying Donald Trump is a threat to America. He's a threat to democracy. He's a threat to freedom. He's, you know, and on and on and on. And then by Sunday night, he's calling for cooler rhetoric, as though he can engage in the heated rhetoric that might inspire this kind of thing, and then turn right back around and say, but you guys can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, look, what we need to be talking about is policy here. And, you know, it's perfectly okay to say that the stakes are high in this election, but they are high from a policy perspective because we have two extremely different visions here of the direction that the country goes forward. Now, those policies matter to people's day-to-day lives, in particular their economic lives, their safety with regard to crime in terms of our border. But when we have politicians that start suggesting, making this very personal and suggesting that the person themselves is a danger to the office, that is something very different, and it's what tends to drive people over the edge.
Yeah, it does. Hey, I'm talking to Kim Strassel, who's the Potomac Watch columnist for the Wall Street Journal and the author most recently of The Biden Malaise, How America Bounces Back from Joe's Dismal Repeat of the Jimmy Carter Years. Are you confident, as we stand here right now with the RNC starting to meet, are you confident Joe Biden will be the nominee of the Democrat Party?
Well, look, I think it's very noticeable. We haven't had a single further Democrat since everything happened on Saturday call for him to step down. I think there's a realization dawning on the Democratic Party. This did change some dynamics. And this was always going to be the case. The RNC was going to get through this event and come out of it looking very united. That is all the more so the case after all of this. This party is going to roar. By the way, I'm in Milwaukee. This party is going to roar out of this event and just completely be rallied around Donald Trump and his new running mate, J.D. Vance. The Democrats are sitting there thinking, now that we have this dynamic, do we want to be the party completely fractured, chaotic, disunited? Now, I'm not saying, so I think it's going to get quiet for a while, okay? Because they also prefer the headlines right now to be on Donald Trump. That being said, Lars, if there's a series of polls that start coming out, especially, you know, once we get done with this convention, there'll be some polls. And there's something that looks like more than a bump, but a true change post-assassination attempt and convention and everything we know about Joe Biden. I wouldn't put the past Democrats to a couple weeks from now have another complete panic moment. But I think working in Joe Biden's favor is that he's running out the clock at this point.
Yeah, he is, because in Nevada, we've already passed the deadline. It was Friday after the debate when you can't even take Joe's name off the ballot in Nevada. And Ohio's deadline is coming up the 7th of August, I believe it is. And they have to give a name by then. And if it's Joe's name by then that's the name that's going to be on in the fall no matter what. So they're kind of in a tough spot. And yet, run out the clock on a candidate who seems as though he's almost certain to lose in November seems like a sad kind of situation for the Democrat Party right now.
I think it's incredibly sad. I think it's also unfortunate for this country because, you know, we ought to be, look, the mistake the Democrats made and the failing to the nation came last year when there was no Democrat willing to stand up and challenge Joe Biden, no credible one. When the party was unwilling to actually sit down and have a serious discussion about the state of this campaign, when the media failed to tell us more about what was going on and just how bad things were, or at least acknowledge that situation. This scenario we have right now was almost a little baked in once that lack of courage came out last year.
Last 30 seconds, Kim Strassel. What should we make of the fact that Donald Trump has chosen a one-time never-Trumper as his running mate?
Yeah, look, I have to be honest with you. I still don't think this was one of his best choices he could have made. But you know, I think he's looking to someone who's younger, who has a lot of dynamism, and who certainly has shown Donald Trump a lot of loyalty in more recent period of time. And I think this magnifies what is clearly GOP's also focus on working class voters.
Although I got to give something to the guy with the dynamism to get shot and stand up with blood still on his face and put his fist to the air and say, fight for your country, fight for your country. That's Kim Strassel, the author most recently of The Biden Malaise. She writes the Potomac Watch column for The Wall Street Journal. I'll get to your phone calls and emails in just a moment at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
Exercising the right to free speech every day. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday, day one of the RNC convention. Donald Trump has the nomination locked up. Who knows who the Democrats are going to choose, although they appear to be stuck with Joe Biden right now. This segment of the show is brought to you by NickShivers.com. Go to NickShivers.com for an instant offer to sell your home immediately. No showings, no hassles. You pick the closing date. NickShivers.com for details. Now, I want to give you one little update. Corey Comparatore is the father of two who was shot to death at the rally at which a sniper attempted to take the life of Donald Trump on Saturday night in Butler, Pennsylvania. Corey Comparatore. He is the former fire chief from Buffalo Township. And his wife, his widow now, his widow is quoted as saying his last words as he shielded his family from that sniper who had opened fire on him on President Trump. He said, get down, and then shielded his family with his body, protected them. And she said, this is Helen Comparatore. He's my hero. He just said, get down. That's the very last thing that he said. She also says President Biden called her up to offer his condolences. She said, I didn't want to talk to Biden. I don't want to talk to him. My husband was a devout Republican, and he would not have wanted me to talk to him. So she apparently turned away the president's call. Now to your calls. Let's go to Bill, who's a naysayer. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program. You know we love naysayers. But what do you and I disagree about today?
Yeah, hey, Lars. You made a comment about the shot going to Donald Trump, our next president, as being guided by divine intervention.
I didn't say the shot was guided, but I think Donald Trump was guided because he happened to move his head a fraction of an inch, a fraction of a second before the bullet would have hit.
No. If there's divine intervention, that guy would not have been killed. Why does God shoot one guy and save another?
Because there's always going to be evil in the world. God doesn't shoot anybody.
There was a poor shot on the side of that guy, the guy who shot him.
Okay.
If the weapon is dirty or not sighted correctly, it's not going to shoot true.
And you're welcome to your interpretation. I'm going to stick with. Would you accept that my opinion is that it was divine intervention that saved a president from a shot that, had it been a fraction of an inch a different direction, would not have left Donald Trump alive?
No, because his head was all over the place. It was going right, left. It was going up and down. It was a bad shot. Was kicked off his high school shooting team because he was a bad shot. 150 yards is not an easy shot if you are a bad shot.
That's true. If you're a bad shot, it can be a very difficult shot. 150 yards for anybody who shoots regularly is no big deal. But Bill, thanks for the call. Let's go to naysayer Kimberly. Hey, Kimberly, what do we disagree about that makes you a naysayer today?
Well, thank God we still have President Trump, Lars, and great
yes,
show.
Yes, ma'am.
But out of due respect for your personal vote, I'd like to say over a week ago you mentioned in support of Dave Reichert.
Yes.
So quickly I'll say that I was at the Washington State Republican Party convention in Spokane, and even though I saw Mr. Reichert in the hallway, it was very evident to him who we, the people of Washington State, want for governor. And we voted unanimously for support for Mr. Stemmy Bird, our next governor of the state of Washington.
No,
amen.
Kimberly,
Kimberly.
When you were there, how many people in total voted in favor of Stemmy Bird?
I would say over 2,000.
2,000. And how many people are in the state of Washington who are registered to vote?
Well,
about 6 million.
Millions.
About 6 million. So is it fair to say, and especially this, my standard for Stemmy Bird, he's been on the show. Reichert's been on the show. Lately, Stemmy Bird will not come on and explain a whole bunch of things that he held back from us about his military career and some of the things he did that were wrong in the military. The fact that he's not willing to answer questions now, does that make him a great candidate when he won't talk to the public about things in his own record?
I think that he would come on and do this. I spoke to him yesterday.
We've asked him over and over.
Okay.
He's been on the show before, but ever since the word broke that he had apparently kept us in the dark about some of the bad things that happened, including faked documents to try to get a promotion while he was in the military, and he admitted that he faked the documents, and he took the punishment.
I myself would like to give grace and mercy because we're all sinners, but I'd like to add that Mr. Reichert was not responsible enough to address the convention attendees there, and in fact his party conceded there his candidacy that day, and I'm sure he's a fine man, but to me, Stemmy Bird is the best qualified and equipped And I have grace and mercy on Mr. Byrd.
Okay, but you can have grace and mercy, but shouldn't people confess their sins? In other words, if he knew there was something negative in his background, should he have shared that with the voters? He did not.
And I agree, and I think that he should give come on and be an open book and transparent.
If he's holding stuff back from us as a candidate now, what's he going to do if he becomes the governor?
I think he's ready to come on and talk to the people.
No,
I do.
Kimberly, if somebody lies about their background, and that's what he did with those fake documents, and he admitted they were defaked, he admitted that they were to get a promotion. If he did that to preserve his ability to keep the job he wanted and go on to a bigger and better job, I don't trust him as governor. And I'm sorry, he can come on and explain anytime he wants. So far, he says no.
The Lars Larson.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You ready for the big show?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Lars. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Look, if you hate cops just because of the cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
And then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday. Monday, day one of the Republican National Convention, and already we've had some great news. Donald Trump confirmed as the nominee of the RNC convention, enough delegate votes, and his announcement today of J.D. Vance as his vice presidential running mate. I thought I'd get a view from somebody who's on the floor, RNC convention delegate and former state lawmaker and candidate for governor in Oregon, Bob Tiernan. We know him as B1 Bob. How are you doing, Bob?
Hey, Lars, how are you doing?
I'm not doing too badly at all. So what do you make of the fact that Donald Trump has chosen Senator Vance from Ohio as his vice presidential running mate?
He'd be my first choice for a number of reasons. First off, we had a lot of talented vice presidential candidates, but Vance, 39 years old, he's young, he's smart, he's a Yale grad, Ohio State undergrad, married, three kids, former Marine, well, once a Marine, always a Marine,
yep.
Accomplished writer. He's just an all-around, very smart, articulate person that can discuss the issues, knows the issues, comes from the absolute salt of the earth. And we're so lucky to have someone like J.D. Vance step up and just get in politics. He just got in, I think, 2020. He's a junior senator. So, I'm just in awe that somebody like this is so squared away. And I think he's a breath of fresh air for the entire country.
Bob, I didn't want to shortchange you on your military service. I should recognize your Navy service, shouldn't I? You guys are always willing to give the Marines a ride whenever they need to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, well, we did more than that. I had several Marine Corps teams reporting to me. But, you know, the thing about the Marines, you just tell them what they do, what to do, where to go, and there is no discussion, no argument. They just go do it. So. Yeah, I got 30 years in the Navy. I got out as a commander, enjoyed every second of it. I should have been paying the Navy because it was a pleasure to serve my country.
Well, it's a pleasure to have that service. But tell me, and Bob, thank you for your service in uniform. But tell me what the reaction there on the convention floor is by delegates to the attempted assassination of President Trump on Saturday night.
Well, I think it's shocked that something like that actually happened. To any political candidate, but there's absolute shock, and some people were a little timid to even come here after that happened, thinking, well, maybe it's not a safe place. But I think the way President Trump handled it, or his gut instincts of, you know, of ducking, standing up, putting his fist up, and continuing on, and having the presence of mind to show that this isn't going to stop him, I think that kind of almost overcame the shock of what happened with how he took it by the horns. And I think we all got a flavor of exactly the character, the true character, not watered down by the press or exaggerated or lied about, but the true character of the person of who Donald Trump is.
Dan, in fact, I think to some extent his vice presidential candidate choice reflects that, because I'd remind people that Senator Vance was at one point a few years ago a confirmed never Trumper, and even it said some especially harsh things about Donald Trump, and yet today Donald Trump picks him as his running mate. That's quite a change, but it shows that Trump's willing to, you know, to consider somebody based on what they think today and not necessarily what they've said in the past.
Well, yeah, and it's easy to get a very negative vibe about President Trump when he was in office, even when he was running, because the press was after him. The lies that have been told about him, the exaggeration, the misinformation. I mean, the most recent ones, you know, he's a threat to democracy. He's going to turn this into a dictatorship. You know, if you listen to what's been said about him, you would not have a good impression. But again, once you know him or get to know him, or you see the character that he is, a family man, he does have, you know, six children, grandchildren. He is in his own way the salt of the earth, a rich one, but the salt of the earth. I mean, when I was hot and heavy in the Oregon legislature, I was labeled public enemy number one throughout the entire state. They had buttons on it. I had to wear a flak vest for 2 weeks when I was in the legislature because of stupid threats that came in. And, you know, people believed everything that you know, your opposition says about you. You ought to go, you know, jump off a cliff somewhere. I think Mr. Trump, President Trump, is is going to be such a great president. And I think J.D. Vance realizes that. He realized it early. And it takes a man to stand up and say, hey, I made a mistake. I had a bad impression. I was wrong. And he did that, you know, several years ago.
Well, and I kind of wonder this, Bob, about what the Democrats are going to do. I want your thoughts on what you think they're going to do. At this point, they're stuck with a candidate who's almost certain to lose in an election that isn't going to happen for another a little less than 4 months from now. And yet they're stuck with him, and they can't seem to get rid of him or find anybody that they could actually pair up against Donald Trump and have a prayer of winning. So, you know, what are they going to do?
I think they're in huge trouble. First off, they have a dead on arrival flawed candidate. Whether you like him or not, if he has a personality or not, it is not the question. He's just not competent to hold the position, and I think everybody sees it. On top of all that, you've got the conspiracy to cover it up. But that aside, Joe Biden is not qualified to be president anymore. And so the Democrats have a lot to deal with. They have a lot to handle. But, Lars, let me tell you, I flew here this morning. I left at 4 in the morning, took a flight through
to Milwaukee.
Phoenix. Yeah. I had to go through two airports. And as soon as I got out of my car and parked my car, I put on my Trump Keep America Great 2020 hat. And I'm walking through the airport, right? And yep. You see lots of people walking through the airport. And people are looking at me, and I'm getting more thumbs up. I'm getting way to go, yes, from people that you would not ever expect. And when I got off in Phoenix, same thing. The pilots on Southwest Airlines, they came out, I was sitting in the front seat, they come out and go, great hat. And they go back in. I think Trump is going to have a bump, you know, an unforeseen bump off this terrible situation, because America got to see the true roots and who he is, and he's got the grit that we need to address the many problems that we have, you know, our the inflation, the public safety, the national defense, our out-of-control deficit. I think he will attack those problems, and he's not going to take excuses. And I think J.D. Vance comes from the same line of thought.
You know what? Last night, I don't know if you saw what Biden did. We came out and read the teleprompter for a few minutes. But at the very end, he came very close to saying "Make America Great Again," and then he stopped himself in the middle and kind of fumbled with it, realizing everybody's just heard me launch into Donald Trump's signature line, "Make America Great Again." I can't say that, but I can't figure out what to say instead. That's Bob Tiernan. He's an RNC convention delegate, former state lawmaker, and one-time candidate for governor. Bob, thanks very much. I appreciate the time. In a moment, I'll get to your phone calls and emails. And I want to tell you about one of the most significant criminal cases against President Trump, which has been dismissed in its entirety today. We'll get to that next. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
Broadcasting the sound of freedom. Here's Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday. It's day one of the RNC convention. It's also happens to be the day when they counted up the delegate votes. Donald Trump has a lock on the nomination, so that's locked in. He's chosen his vice presidential candidate, a one-time never-Trumper named Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. So that's done. And then we got word that a judge has dismissed one of the most significant criminal cases against Donald Trump. A case that never should have been brought, but the judge, Eileen Cannon, handed down her decision today. This is a major win. This is what you might call the classified documents case, the one where the Department of Justice under Joe Biden, fully weaponized by the Democrats, raided Donald Trump's home, found classified documents there that it says Donald Trump illegally possessed, although Donald Trump says he did not illegally possess them. He had the legal authority to have them, but charges were brought anyway, but the judge has decided that the appointment of the special counsel Jack Smith was illegal and was unconstitutional. I'll get into some of the details on that in just a moment. First, if you want to join the best conversation in talk journalism, it happens right here every day at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And I want to go to a naysayer, because we always put naysayers first here. Theodore, welcome to the program. And what do you and I disagree about that makes you a naysayer?
You don't always take naysayers. You block people for years. But anyway.
No. Only when they abuse my producers.
What you said is you trust the, you basically conveyed that you trust the police, and if you see something, you say something. You never talk to the police in this country. You never trust these people in government. I mean, you've
got to say to trust the police, or did I say when you see something, say something? In this case, the fact that those citizens, hold on, you're going to listen to me for a moment. The fact that those citizens saw something that appeared to be a threat, and it was, and they told the police, and the police did not act with dispatch, proves the point. If they had not told the police, what good would it have done to hold that information back?
It wouldn't have done a damn thing. It wouldn't have done any difference. And by the way, the FBI has now come to the conclusion, just like in the JFK thing, that it was a guy acting alone. How can they do that two days later?
Actually, I've been watching the press conferences the last 2 days. They have specifically avoided coming to that conclusion. They've said it appears.
Made the statement.
It appears that he was acting alone, but they said they are not discounting the possibility that got help from elsewhere. Do you have a theory as to what happened?
I have no idea. All I know is, but you don't reach a conclusion 2 days in. I think Trump's extraordinarily lucky. I think the Secret
Divine
Service
intervention.
And the government is incompetent. And these deep staters, which you kind of have always been a pro deep stater, but
in what way do you think I support the bureaucracy that makes decisions without the public's sign off and without any accountability to the public? I have never supported that.
You were pro Homeland Security. You've been pro Patriot Act. You've been pro war in Iraq. You've been pro for all of these wars that have got us. You've been pro Bush Republican.
Based on the information at the time. Do you have to go ahead with the information you have at the time?
No, it's because you've got poor judgment, just like a lot of Republicans. And what I say is you can never trust these police. It's just like having Josh Markey on.
So tell me this. No, but Theodore, can you explain something to me? If something bad happens at your house that involves what you think is a crime, do you not call the police?
It doesn't work.
I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that, Theodore.
Just shoot them.
You shoot them. Okay. Well, that's also an alternative. Although, if you're wrong, you could end up under arrest yourself. Let's go to Rob. Hey, Rob, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. Just wanted to share the fact that since this all started, I just can't help but compare and contrast with what I lived through during the Kennedy assassination. And
are you old enough to remember that? I was four years old.
I was a little older
old.
Than you, Lars.
Okay.
But again, I just think it's, of course, back then we lived in a time when it was virtually unthinkable that there would have ever been any involvement on the part of the government. But
even though now we know that the CIA was involved, right?
You're right, exactly. But the quick action to identify a shooter, the fact that they made a big deal of the fact that he was acting alone, they played up the fact that he had a Russian wife and communist ties, the fact that they apprehended him quickly, although even those circumstances were very unusual, the way they were able to locate him so quickly. And then, of course, he was later shot by Ruby while he was in custody, so then he's silenced. And just so many aspects of this that I can't help but as everything is unfolding and we hear more and more, I keep thinking, boy, there's a lot of things, and fortunately, I think as a country, we're not as naive as we were back then. So I don't think we are. Right.
Well, although Rob, I got to ask you, in the case of Kennedy, you had the magic bullets, you know, that somehow bounced around from victim to victim, you know, as you know that. But in this case, do you think it would take more than a kid with a protractor to say, okay, take this map. Here's the podium. Here's where the bullet whizzed by the right hand side of Donald Trump, puncturing his right ear. And where did that bullet come? Where are the possible places that bullet could have come from? And there's a limited number of places it could have come from mathematically, right?
Well, yes, but, I mean, I can't deny that I find myself wondering, like, what's downrange of that could have maybe been where it originated? Do we really know, in fact, that it was from his gun on that rooftop?
Well,
I remember when the Warren Report came out with Kennedy, which was months later, if not years, one of the striking things was the audio that showed the shots and the interval between the shots, and then they brought in a sniper to recreate from that exact window in the book depository the same number of shots in the same amount of time, and he couldn't do it. And so things like that, I think, are yet to kind of come out. I think 130 yards or 150 yards was a different story, and it wasn't as complex as it was then.
No, not at all. And when you take into account the victim behind Donald Trump that was hit by one of those bullets, we don't know whether
right.
the bullet that hit the gentleman who was the retired fire chief was the same one that hit Donald Trump in the ear, but it was apparently
right.
one of these six or eight shots. If you draw a line from that point and then past Donald Trump's right side, mathematically, there are only a certain number of places and the angle at which it would have hit the victim, the victim who was killed. Mr.
Right, I just
comparatory.
Think it's unfair, though, if a marksman's capable at 600 yards, my first thought is what's the perimeter look like at 600 yards from the same direction, right? And
yeah.
And would that, you know, have we exhausted the fact that it wasn't conceivable that there was another vantage
from farther away than that? Well, part of the problem
right.
is
remember
with
the
a 2-2
hole, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Was out of the question. That it had to come from the book depository, but then later, maybe not.
Maybe not. Rob, thanks very much. Glad to be with you and always glad to take your calls. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show. Because you like what you hear, right? Lars Larson
Welcome back to the Lawrence Larson Show. My conclusion as a non-law enforcement person is that the Secret Service is clearly at the front of the line for those who should accept the responsibility for the attempted assassination, I would even say near assassination, of President Donald Trump on Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania. But I think there are others who are responsible as well, so I thought I'd get an expert opinion on it and ask Sergeant Betsy Bratner-Smith, who's retired as a cop but is now spokesperson for the National Police Association. Sergeant, welcome back to the program.
Hey, it's great to be with you, and you're absolutely right. In this situation, the buck stops with the Secret Service. They get to take the accolades for the things that happened correctly, and they have to take the blame and come forward and deal with the criticisms.
Well, let me ask you this, because I could see the argument that they're short of resources. If that's the case, you go to the Congress or you go to your boss, and you say to the federal government, this is the executive branch, so it's a Joe Biden item. We need more people. We can't possibly cover the candidates that we have to protect. And just a short time ago, President Biden finally made the decision. I'm not a fan of RFK Jr., but he deserves Secret Service protection under the law and under the practices of this country going back a long time. He's finally going to get it. But if they were short covering Donald Trump and Dr. Jill Biden in Pennsylvania at the same time, plus Joe, who doesn't leave the house very much, and Donald Trump, if they're going to be short already and then they're going to cover RFK Jr., do they need more resources, or are they really sufficiently staffed, or are they short? Do you know?
Well, only they can make that decision. It's not unusual. In fact, it's standard operating procedure and has been for decades for the Secret Service to utilize the resources of local law enforcement in a situation like this, in a political rally. I mean, look at the RNC right now. What's Yep. happening at the RNC? Of course, there's thousands of federal, state, and local law enforcement officers involved in that. But I have been on these details where you've had a high-level protectee. And so local law enforcement is utilized, but it's ultimately the Secret Service who calls the shots and who takes responsibility. So I'm a little disheartened to see that the Secret Service is trying to shift some of the blame for the perimeter failures to local law enforcement.
This should have been dealt with properly. Sergeant, I mean, when I looked at that, when they were first calling out the distance as 250 or 300 yards, I go hunting. That's not a long shot. In fact, most of my deer and elk shots have been north of 300 yards. Some have been shorter, but most of them longer. And so when you say a 300-yard shot, I wondered, why would they even have allowed a building, a raised position, with nobody on it from the Secret Service or local police, and say, okay, this is up to the local cops, it's outside the perimeter, unless they were willing to say, and that entire location is locked down, there are no people allowed in that location during the event. Now, that would have been one way to do it, to say that entire, it's a light industrial area, I guess there's a factory there, say nobody's allowed to be in there. If we see anybody on the roof, they're a threat, and they could have done that. They didn't do that. This just sounds like tactical errors all over the place, doesn't it?
Well, you're absolutely correct. There should have been no one allowed near that building, certainly not on top of it, and yet we hear and see the eyewitness reports of this young man walking from his vehicle to the building, getting up onto the building, and being able to take a position to commit murder. So, yes, that whole situation should have been locked down. But whose decision is it? It's local. It is the Secret Service. Okay for them to utilize. Yeah, the Secret Service. It's okay for them to utilize local law enforcement. You know, a couple of those counter sniper teams were local tactical officers. But I want to remind people of a couple of things. First, we're operating from the position of hindsight bias. We know the ending of the story. It's real easy for all of us to say, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. Secondly, I want people to remember why law enforcement is shorthanded in the first place. Because for the last 4 years, we have been demonized and vilified. Every police department is short-staffed.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you
now
there.
Now it's time to think
Betsy,
about this.
Over the weekend, after this happened, I got an email from a former police commander that I know, and he had risen to the rank of captain. And he said he'd walked around with the Secret Service before, and they'd say, we'll show you how we're going to do this. See all these high points? They either have one of our guys on it or gals on it as a shooter, or we clear those areas. And he says, that's not rocket scientist. That's not just 2020. You'd say, take all the high points and either make sure they're covered from your shooting position, you know, the Secret Service shooting position, or that they're, you know, that they're empty, that nobody is up there. And they didn't do any of that.
A $50 an hour armed security guard could have done that if they didn't have enough staffing. And your friend is absolutely correct. That is one of the first things that we do in these types of situations is have the roofs covered. Then we have vehicle traffic controlled, extremely controlled, and we're watching it. Where were the drones? Where was the air support? This is, you know, and again, remember now, for how many years now has the media and the politicians and the activists been telling us that Donald Trump is a Hitler, he's a Nazi, and if he gets elected as president again, he is going to destroy this country, we're going to lose democracy. So nobody should be surprised that some unhinged lunatic decided to take him on. There's a lot to talk about in this besides the tactical failures.
Hey, Betsy, let me ask you this. Sergeant Smith, you're a young lady, and I want to ask you about this. Did you watch the immediate response and getting Trump off the stage and back into a protective vehicle? And were you watching the actions of young ladies who were Secret Service agents? Some of them seemed to be a little confused about what they were doing. I want your impression, because mine is not an expert impression. Yours is.
Thank you for calling me young. Listen, I started as a cop at age 21 in 1980, not because I was a woman, but in spite of being a woman. Did I see some? I still train women cops all over the world. Did I see some failures there, some concerns? Absolutely, I did. I saw a little bit of what we call condition black, which is a type of panic in a couple of those female agents. And again, unfortunately, Kimberly Cheadle, yep, the director of the Secret Service, made a big production out of something called 30 by 30. There's an initiative in this country called 30 by 30. 30% female law enforcement officers by 2030. I abhor DEI. We should not hire anyone for any job, especially a law enforcement job, because of their sex or because of their race. Again, this is why Kimberly Cheadle needs to stand before the media and stand before the American public, talk about what happened, talk about the investigation as best she can, and answer questions, because we're in this dark tunnel now where as less information comes out, more conspiracy theories and rumors come out. She needs to put a stop to that by showing that she's a leader.
Well, so far they're losing, because Sergeant Smith, I watched all the press conferences after the incident on Saturday afternoon to my time, because I'm on the left coast. And I watched all these law enforcement agencies saying, well, only the Secret Service can answer that. But they decided not to show up tonight to answer questions. It was they're not looking very good right now. That Sergeant Betsy Bratner Smith, she's a spokesperson for the National Police Association and a retired police sergeant. Sergeant, thanks so much for your time. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
Listening, you're proving how smart you really are.
Lars thanks you.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. This segment of the show on the Radio Northwest Network is brought to you by Oregon Medical Centers, the regenerative medicine specialist, Oregon Medical Centers. Today's X-Poll, should the new diversity-minded Secret Service chief resign for the massive security failure that allowed the attempted assassination of Donald Trump on Saturday night? I'd answer that one yes. You can answer any way you like. You'll find the question at Lars Larson Show on X, also on our website. It's brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at ultimatetruckservice.com. Let's go first to Vince. Hey, Vince, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Lars. I'm just questioning, I know you're a very strong proponent of the Second Amendment, so as I am a gun owner, have been for many years.
I am.
Ex-service member. My question is, and I'm having a hard time with this, is both the NHRA convention a few months back and now the RNC deal that's going on in Milwaukee right now is like not no guns allowed.
Actually, that's not true. Inside the perimeter, you're right. But in the outer security perimeter, Wisconsin law allows guns to be carried in the outer security perimeter. So there will be guns there. And of course, inside the perimeter, Secret Service is in charge, plus whatever local law enforcement they're working with. So you're asking, why don't we just allow anybody who has a Wisconsin concealed carry permit to carry inside the inner Secret Service security perimeter?
Basically, because I mean, you've mentioned in the past about colleges or schools that have a concealed carry permit.
I do.
You were upset by the fact that colleges would be not wanting you on there, or if they did have you come to speak, that you couldn't bring a gun. And you had said in the past, this has been a few years if I remember correctly, but yeah. You said you would not go to a college if they would prevent you from performing your Second Amendment duties.
I haven't done. Yeah. I mean, I've said to colleges where there's a student group that wants me to come. If you want me to come, I have to be able to carry, and you won't let me, I won't. But I think the situation is different. Can we agree? The situation is different when you have a complete security environment like the RNC or like the DNC.
Like we had on the weekend for Trump.
What's that?
On the weekend for Trump, we had a complete. On the weekend for Trump's speech, we had a complete
total security failure. You're right. You're right.
And total security failure.
But
and
the
if
security
some of those people who saw the shooter have been bearing arms.
Go ahead. Except Vince, what good would it have done if the security failure was a failure to keep a man with a gun out of that because they put the perimeter too close? The perimeter was within 100. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely some problems there. I mean, you put a man on the stage, and he's a cop on the stage, and he looks, and whatever he can see, he says, send some people up there, see what's going on over there. Put a sniper on the roof over there. I mean, that's easy to do.
You can easily look at the sight lines,
and if there's a place, and I agree. And I think the investigation needs to continue a little further. But
that's the failure, is it not? Because, Vince, I would suggest that when you're talking about a college campus where most college campuses are wide open to the public. Anybody can walk on, anybody can walk off. That is not the case at the RNC. It will not be the case at the DNC either, will it?
I hope not. Not for both of them.
In some ways, Vince, if you want it to make it easier to understand, when you go to the airport, once you pass security, TSA security, is that assumed to be a very tightly controlled security environment where nobody inside the perimeter at an American airport has a gun except law enforcement?
Except all the ones that TSA miss every year.
I knew you were going to go there, and it's a legitimate point. But they do their best to make sure that is that's a secure zone inside but not outside.
Yeah.
And so would I suggest that the RNC would be better or the DNC would be better if everybody walking around that convention hall was armed with a gun? I don't think it would be, but that's the answer. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, brother. I love and appreciate you. You're a great American, but I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed about the choice for J.D. Vance. Now, I know the argument is that J.D.'s had a change of heart over the years, but all politicians seem to have a change of heart when it's in their best interest. J.D. Vance is on the record for being a never-Trumper. He played with the idea of voting for Hillary Clinton instead of voting for Trump. That's how badly he hated him. He called him an a-hole. I hope I can say that on the air.
He also compared him to Hitler. He did a bunch of other things as well. So the question is, can you change?
I'm just concerned that Trump... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just concerned that Trump is in danger of repeating the same mistake that I feel like he made the first time in surrounding himself with people that are in the swamp. He's not... Doesn't seem like he's very good.
I have the same concern you do, Mike, but here's my question. Who would you put? He has to have a running mate. Who are you going to choose? And I have racked my brain. And that's why over the last few weeks when people have said, who do you think he should pick or who will he pick? I don't know. And I think can you name one of them that doesn't have those flaws?
Vivek Ramaswamy. The problem with Vivek is that he's probably not. The argument would be he can't draw more supporters to the party.
True.
He's kind of a Trump 2.0, and I suppose that's his downfall, why we may not want him.
The other one is, can I very quickly, before we end, are you a fan of Ronald Reagan like I am?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think Ronald Reagan went from being a Democrat in California to being a Republican because it was in his best interest as a politician in California to be a Republican instead of a Democrat?
Well, that's a valid point. And
I'm just saying, sometimes people change. And Ronald Reagan said, it's partly my fault because for years I was a Democrat. I don't think it did him any favors.
Donald Trump was a Democrat, too. So.
Yeah, and Donald Trump was a Democrat, too. And God love him. Best president of the 21st century.
The Lars Larson Show.